Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sanspants Radio, I'm down on my knees. Today's episode has been sponsored by Geek Fuel. What's Geek Fuel, I hear you mumble to yourself? Well, it's a subscription service where you sign up and every month these guys send out some cool stuff, like kinetically charged deck of cards, a pink shirt with matching black head sock, a metal bow staff, or a big book of how to speak with a passable Cajun accent, clearly not written by Taylor Kitsch. Just head to geekfuel.com/sanspants and sign up today. By using our unique URL, they throw a couple of bucks our way. And isn't that the bestest? That's geekfuel.com/sanspants. Don't believe me? Just listen to what T-Swift has to say. T-Swift?
I don't know how that's relevant, but...
Sure, okay, hey, but if you want to see us live and in person this month, you can! Our sister show, D&D is for Nerds, is having its first live show on the 28th of May. So, if you want to see me, Jackson, and Allie play, like, Orc Paladins, or Half-Elf Clerics, or Gnome Barbarians, or whatever, come on down to Next Level Games in Preston, and see if we can survive whatever dungeon our most handsome DM, Adam, throws at us. Tickets are very limited, so get in quick. All the details are in the show notes. And speaking of show notes, in them, you'll find a link to our Patreon page. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to our shows early and hear some of our bonus shows, like the Patreon-only show and Hey D&D, It's Me, Adam. Help support the show like these amazing people. Carlos Verde, Wade Rosado, Miss Otaku 18, James Cook, Kieran Dowling, Ben Cosgrove, Lucas Forsman Booth, Marja Lickegaard, two K's, what? Benson P, Lewis Fairhurst, Toby, Keith Eglerton, and Alan Woodbury. You are all useful. Like Velcro, you cling to good fortune like Velcro clings to itself, which you are. You are the blanket that keeps us cozy and safe when we watch scary movies and there is thunder outside. When we are scared, we run to you. Upon your bosom, we lay our heads, and all the troubles of the world wash away, and we know we are safe. And for that, we thank you. Now, enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Plumbing the Death Star, where we ask the important questions like, how do the Mystery Inc. gang keep themselves afloat financially?
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now.
Well, they solve crime.
They mysteries. Never get paid for it. Not once. And this is from a man, you know, I don't know if you know this, listeners, but I'm something of a Scooby-Doo aficionado. I've watched a great deal of it.
You say that so proudly.
I think it's a thing to be proud of. And not once do they get paid, like, a specific sum of money. Sometimes the mayor or whatever will be like, sick, well done, you're in the paper. But they never get, like, a specific fee. It's certainly not enough to keep themselves, like, financially secure.
Could they publish a book?
Are they? Yeah. Yeah, there's money to be made in books.
Yeah.
That just sounded like somebody's like, I gotta make money quick. There's money to be made in books. I've never seen, they could, but what's that book going to be about? It's going to be like The Adventures of Mystery Inc., who never seem to realize that the bad guy is a man in a mask.
could they be independently wealthy? I mean, Shaggy probably isn't, but
Shaggy wears Freddy. Like filthy clothes. Yeah, Fred actually, like, he's wearing an ascot.
He seems like he comes from like money.
Actually, so does Daphne, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, they seem like the social elite.
So are we saying that like Mystery Inc. is basically like the adventures of wealthy teens wasting away their hours until they have to go and work for Daddy's company?
Well, at least for two of them. For Fred and, well, maybe Daphne.
Daphne, I think Daphne, she has a lot of sisters. She has like a lot of sisters.
How
I think at least...
Lot?
Like 12?
12, all right, that's a lot of sisters.
That's a lot of sisters.
Because often in Scooby-Doo, that will be like, oh, this episode is the episode where they're going up to Daphne's sister in like a spooky farm, Daphne's sister in like a spooky marina. And it's always a different sister. So she has a lot of sisters, I think about 12.
All right, so maybe she's like the like youngest in order.
Catholic rich, yeah, I think Catholic they call rich. That.
Because down the line, you know, she's going to get like old maybe money. Old money, but when it gets divvied up for 12 kids, not a lot of money.
So how come the Daphne and Fred, if they're so wealthy, are hanging out with Velma, who seems pretty poor, and Shaggy, who seems homeless?
How could they have ever met together?
I know, because it's not like they're going to be running in the same social circles.
They've been running in circles together since they were babies,
Yeah, well, they kind of have. Like, it's been the Mystery Inc. team since they were, like, infants.
Really?
Well, not maybe not infants, but, like, since they were at least seven.
Really?
Yeah. Scooby-Doo and the Lake Monster or some shit is one of them, where they're all kids. Plus, there was, like, a whole series where they were babies.
So there's, like, so they have this idea to be, like, let's cake. That's why. They're fucking, it's a childhood notion idea. But fucking Fred's got the bankroll.
He's got the money. He's going to be like, no, let's carry on, gang. Like,
okay, we're going to do our mystery. We're going to go around the country and get in a van and we're going to sell and we're going to solve and we're going to solve all the mysteries that the world's going to throw at us. Yay! And they do it. And it's like a make-believe game for kids.
But now they're
and
all
Fred's
18.
Always like, yes, I have the money. Let's do this.
Does that mean like Fred's dad will call him up occasionally and be like, when are you coming home, Fred?
I would assume so.
And Fred's like, Dad, this is my life. I We're solve solving mysteries.
What's your credit card number again, Dad?
Dad, I need to pay for another cheap haunted motel where we're going to stay the night.
Because imagine, what are really the mystery gang, what do they need to, what are they spending money on?
What other necessities for the, so fuel, lodgings, although they often sleep in the van.
Sandwich fixins.
Sandwiches.
Yeah.
For Scooby
snacks.
And Shaggy.
And it's not
Scooby
just simple snacks. Sandwiches. This thing has
these
layers.
Are long. Yeah. There's one episode where there's like a sandwich, like it's like my like a meter long, like up. Yeah. Right. And then Shaggy gets string and he ties it around it and he compresses it until it's the size of a normal sandwich and eats it. Yeah. And I'm always like, what happens when that string dissolves? Does it just expand in his stomach and kill him?
Are they dumpster divers?
No, because they're often in little diners eating food. They often... No,
and
but
the
see,
films,
then here, counter-argument to myself, often, and I mean like more than three times, the Mystery Inc. team are digging for clams on a beach. So that doesn't seem like the kind of thing that people with a lot of money do.
They're like digging for clams.
It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like I'm just talking shit.
Yeah, and the fact that it happens, what, more than three times?
There's the episode where there's the spooky robot ghost at a Funland. There's the episode with a spooky pirate ghost on a beach. There's another spooky pirate ghost.
I mean, they just like clams, and this is like, we're at the beach. May
they always
as well.
Do it at night. It's really weird.
That's weird.
They're always like digging for, it's like Shaggy and Scooby are digging for clams in the sand near a fun fair. Which doesn't seem like the activity of like an independently wealthy unless people. Fred's like, I can buy you clams, Shaggy. Shaggy, I just, you don't need to. And he's like, fine.
No, I've got too much pride. Clamming is something that I can do.
Clamming, my family's been clamming for generations.
But yeah, so how do they even meet? That's my sort of question that I'm curious.
Well,
because
I think sometimes they're all in high school together. But then if Fred's independently wealthy, why would Shaggy be? Yeah.
He's not going to a public high school. And Shaggy doesn't seem like the person that would win scholarship.
Shaggy doesn't seem like he graduated high school. Let's be honest.
Like, he didn't graduate year 10.
No.
So, because, like, Velma fits in with the...
She's
basically
clever. She could have gotten
a
scholarship.
How the hell did Velma, Fred, and Daphne meet Shaggy?
Yeah, that's kind of the question.
Where does Shaggy fit into it? Is he a cousin?
Well, maybe they met the dog and Shaggy comes with the dog.
Maybe they found him at the beach looking for clams. They're like, that's a lovely Great Dane. And he's like, yeah, zoinks or whatever. And then they were like, come solve mysteries with us.
Oh, yeah.
Alternative theory is that it's Shaggy's van because it's like covered in like hippie swirls, and Fred is so fucking straight laced that as if it's his van.
But he's Fred's always driving, isn't he?
Yeah. I know what I'm saying.
Wow.
Shaggy can't be trusted driving his own van.
Yeah, but no, but let's honestly think about that. How realistic is it? What are the chances of Fred, who looks like if they were like, do you want to serve in Korea? He'd be like, yes, I do.
Yeah. Fred is very country club.
Mm.
And that van is not.
Exactly. And it's not in great condition either. And you'd think Fred would be the kind of person with his fucking perfect little ascot that would keep his van nice. So I think it's Shaggy's van.
It's definitely Shaggy's van.
And Fred was just like, no, Scoob. I mean, I'll drive it. You're a mess.
Could it be that maybe...
They don't have tests for what you've been doing.
Exactly.
But you're still not allowed to drive.
Did Shaggy lose his license? So they had a van but no driver.
Oh, that's sad. And Fred was like, I got this. I always kind of wondered in the back of my head if they were a bit on the run. Because they travel the globe. Sometimes.
So what did Shaggy do that implicated all the rest of them? And he's like, Zoinks, guys, you gotta get in the van.
Well, they are noble and loyal friends to Shaggy that they weren't just like, get the fuck out, you filthy hippie.
Or what did they make Shaggy do, and then it's like Shaggy could implicate them?
Hmm.
What kind of cruel games did they play with Shaggy?
Well... there's a lot of instances in the first season of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?, the very first Scooby-Doo show, where Fred makes everybody do things that they're very much not comfortable with. It happens a startling amount of time, and it's not even like I'm reading between the lines. It's super clear. Like there's one where, like, one of my favorite scenes in, it's like Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Minor 49er, the episode, and it's where they're in, like, this old abandoned mining town, and they're just driving along pretty normally, right, and in the van, and Shaggy's like, oh, I'm scared, zoinks! And then he looks over to like one of the houses and just like a window just falls off, like real unceremonious. She's just like, poof, and Shaggy screams and Fred just stops the van and he just turns and looks at Shaggy and he's like, don't be scared, Shag. And Shaggy's just like, okay. And then they just keep driving. This was like made in the 60s.
Why did he stop the van?
Was he going to hit Shaggy?
That's some intimidation bullshit there.
And the amount of times Shaggy's like, I really would rather not be split up and on my own with just a dog. And Fred's like, nah, that's happening. Fuck off. We're looking for clues. So maybe everybody doesn't leave because they're like, not because they like solving mysteries, just because the alternative is getting the shit beat out of them
by
Fred Jones.
We'll do something to them.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of like, you know, it's like Fred maybe is the ringleader.
Hmm. He's in charge.
Fred has done something that is sort of convinced the others.
Like, sort of, we're all implicated, and they're like, oh my God, and he's just convinced them that they are.
But really, it's not.
Really, it's just Fred.
They could go home anytime they wanted. Fred won't let them.
Yeah.
Hey, I can believe that.
I could easily believe that.
Another thing that I thought...
Velma being like the abused girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes
Daphne,
sense.
You mean?
Sorry, Daphne, yeah.
she's always a bit scared of Fred.
Yeah, Velma being the best friend of Daphne.
Why would you not be?
Of course.
I'm a bit scared of Fred.
We're all a bit afraid of Fred.
His perfect blue, like, emotionless eyes.
Yeah. But yeah?
Yeah, though?
Yeah, so you got Daphne being the abused girlfriend of Fred to be just like...
Velma being like, I'm going to stick with you because I'm a bit more level-headed.
Yeah.
And I know, like, I could get out, but I've got to figure out a way. Maybe every time they stop and, like, the cops are like, you got old man Williker, we'll take him away. Velma's like, hey,
Yeah, like, she's
get
like,
us out of here.
Blinking messages to the cops and they're just oblivious.
Cops are just like, we're going to take him away to execute him. That happens also a lot.
Wow.
In the first season of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Like, as in the first season of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? In one episode, there's just these people who stole a bank vault car like 10 years ago full of and drove it into a swamp to then get 10 years later.
Makes sense.
Perfect plan. And then in the end when they're caught, like they're taking him away and I can't remember what his exact words are, but the police officer really heavily implies that he's like something shocking about like the fate of this guy, like they're going to give him the chair. I don't know what that's about.
What kind of world are we living in? Or are they living in where they have to go on the run, but they're stopping from town to town. Everyone is sort of like doing all these crazy hijinks to get money. And they always go into like places that are really worn down.
Yeah, they do.
That they just, the economy seems kind of shit.
Like, kind of seem kinky.
Jobs in Scooby-Doo. You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't seem that... there's like America is not really like
it's not doing
booming.
Terribly well, no.
No.
Which is
And everyone is like, rather than going out and doing an honest day's like job,
like, everyone's like, dress up like an alligator, yeah, man, scare man, people away from my house,
be a ghost, and like steal jewels.
When was the Depression?
1930s.
So what would have happened if that had extended like another decades? I mean,
what got us out of the Depression, like one of the things that got us out of the Depression was war.
Was there no world war in the world of Scooby-Doo and the Depression just carried on to the 1960s?
When was the Depression? Depression was in the 30s?
Yeah,
or
I think
the 20s.
So. 30s.
1929 was the crash of Wall Street.
Wow, that's a while. That's a while. You'd think somebody would have done something about it.
Yeah.
There's also really rarely ever anybody else on the road. In Scooby-Doo, like, is often...
except for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, that's true. The Harlem Globetrotters, Batman and Robin once.
Good.
A couple of other celebrities from the 60s and stuff, in the 70s.
Maybe it's a universe.
Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
Maybe
the
wrestlers. Maybe it's a universe where, yeah, the Great Depression
just
kept,
got worse.
Kept being
and
so
worse
great.
And worse until by 1961, I think, which is when Scooby-Doo...
The only people that could afford cars is rich Fred Jones and the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah.
That's true. There's a lot of, like, circuses that are going out of business.
What did Fred Jones's family do to survive the Great Depression?
What terrible things have the fucking Jones family done? Is that why Fred's such a sociopath?
Maybe. He's had to...
Like, cult rituals?
Maybe.
Actually... In Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc., which is like the kind of remake of Scooby-Doo that kind of poked fun of itself, I think Fred is independently wealthy, and his dad is like kind of a cult leader, to be honest. He dresses up like a monster and spooks people.
isn't that every other character in Scooby-Doo?
So Fred's dad dresses up like a monster and spooks people, and then Fred...
Goes out
around
and hunts
the town
monsters.
And hunts monsters that spook people. I'm sensing some daddy issues that Fred Jones may or may not have here. Just putting that forward.
I like how much you sounded like the guy from fucking The Room then. May or may not have here.
No,
for sure. I don't even really think about that connection. And it's all canon too. Yeah. So like,
Fred's got some interesting issues, or is he trying to be like, no, my dad didn't dress up like
he's
a monster.
An old man.
Monsters really exist. I'm going to go and prove the world that monsters exist. And every time it's like, nope.
Unless old man.
Back on the road.
Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo as canon, in which all of the monsters were real. But let's not do that. Because so there was a series called Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo, which was just about Shaggy, Scooby, and Scrappy-Doo having adventures. And they were like maybe 10 minutes shorter than your average Scooby-Doo episode. But the monster was always real. So it was like a swamp monster, and it was like actually a swamp monster. They never like took the mask off. In the end, they just got away.
Well, it's because they didn't take the mask off because they got away. So they're still monsters. They're still
I think
people.
In one episode, a witch turns Scooby into a frog. Actually, no, in one episode... Where there's like a person pretending to be the ghost of Dr. Jekyll.
Sure.
Figure that one out.
Done.
He's a scientist and Scooby drinks something and becomes a frog. So I guess it's not beyond the realm of possibility that it was also a person in an outfit.
Yeah. Well, because they don't have Velma, Daphne, and just like, you know... Like
the clever members of Mystery
and,
Inc.
And, you know, just the drive of Fred. Single-minded drive of Fred that... You know, they've got a Scrappy, Scooby, and Shag. So clearly the villain's getting away, so they just never unmask him. And those three are not clever enough to be like, nah, human.
That means in that part of, like, this part of America, there are just a lot of people getting away with scaring people away from valuable property or treasure. Yeah. Like, those people are just
getting
messy.
It makes sense if it is the Great Depression, because you would be valuing your treasure and, like, your gold or your gems.
That's
or
true.
Whatever,
like, anything that has, like, a sort of... like historical value as well, because a lot of people are stealing like gems from museums and stuff like that, which would add, like, it's not like you're just stealing like cash or something where the value of that cash might be so low that it's like, meaningless. You're stealing stuff with another level of value to it.
Yeah.
That's a startlingly good point.
Plus, during depressions and recessions, the first thing you stop spending money on is, like, entertainment. So amusement parks would be failing everywhere.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Same with the circus.
So exactly. So the entertainment... what's the alcohol situation? Because that also goes up, weirdly. Everyone's like, fuck entertainment, but I'm going to get blind drunk to cope with this bullshit.
I'm trying to think if there's any...
In terms of depression, tame it down.
There is,
yeah.
In one episode called Spooky Space Kook, They find an old hillbilly, and that old hillbilly sells them moonshine to fill their car up with.
All right.
So that's maybe alcohol in Scooby-Doo. I don't know if that works. You don't see really many fucking instances of people being just hammered. It's pretty rare.
I'm thinking like cars and that kind of stuff would be considered luxury items. Mm. That's why, you know, only the Harlem Globetrotters and our lads can afford to drive.
Yeah, true.
Man, that's and it's why it's not even a good car. It's like a piece of shit
combi van. Yeah, exactly.
In the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
There, exactly. Yeah. That sums up Scooby-Doo pretty well. Let's talk about Scooby Snacks, because I always thought that might be another avenue of income for them. Because I always wanted to know if Scooby Snacks are named after Scooby-Doo, or is Scooby-Doo named after Scooby Snacks? Because if Scooby-Doo...
They're calling our kid Schmacko.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird.
Dog. Calling our dog Schmacko.
That's less weird than your kid Schmacko. He's Schmacko. Why? He fucking loves them.
You would
don't
not believe.
Feed your child dog food.
No, it's like jerky, I swear.
Another thing that could really lend something to the Great Depression theory is that the Scooby Snacks are edible for Shaggy?
Oh, yeah.
So does that mean that they're like, food is scarce.
Food is scarce.
So let's up.
If you're like really...
So make your sandwiches tall and your Scooby Snacks plentiful.
That's the thing is like in the Depression, it's like you can't afford meat or whatever, but like, you know, a tin of cat food.
Yeah.
Tin of cat food. Or like dog food, that's relatively cheap.
But Shaggy has massive sandwiches, though.
That's true.
So...
Or is he just stoned imagining that?
Maybe it's like, it's just more Scooby Snacks he's eating.
Yeah.
Mm.
But no, they do making sandwiches. So someone's making sandwiches.
There are small diners doing business across the country, but like, not just enough. And it's clearly always only those guys in there too.
Because why I was thinking they'd be good dumpster divers, because you could find like a hoagie.
Yeah.
In a dumpster.
Half-eaten hoagie, hoedown.
Hoedown, delicious.
Yeah. Also, Shaggy never puts on weight and eats like a mess of food.
When we see him.
Exactly. See what I mean. Is it like periods of great bounty and then periods of like no food for weeks and weeks?
Yeah, because every episode is them solving a mystery. Mm. But we're not seeing all the hours and hours of
driving and
travel.
Sleeping in the back of the van and driving some more. And
Fighting a hobo.
Fighting a hobo for a piece of meat. That's the Mystery Ink way.
Yeah, because like, what are all the people who are dressing up as ghosts and ghouls? Yeah, what is that? Generally, it is just them protecting or them.
It's often them protecting land. It's often like, oh, if we dressed up like this, we'd scare people away, and then we could take what's there. Occasionally, it's like, well, I'm dressing up here to get revenge, stuff like that. Sometimes they're just like, I don't want you here, so I'm going to spook you away. Often there's a lot of family fortunes going on. A lot of old money in Scooby-Doo.
Again, old money, no new money.
Yeah, that's true.
So it does seem to be kind of lend this theory that, definitely is happening in the Great Depression.
Why do
extended one,
the Mystery Inc. team, though, never when... I mean, I guess this could be a plumbing in and of itself, but when they find, like, a man dressed as an alligator, why is their first thought, like, oh, no, alligator man? Then they need evidence to be like, oh, it was a person. Like the amount of times Velma's been like, ghosts don't leave footprints. And you're like, you knew it wasn't a ghost from the beginning, Velma. Come the fuck on.
Yeah, you're right. Like after doing this for how many years and it's never, unless they're just very naive and
they're like, maybe this like, time is maybe ghosts.
Maybe they want to believe in ghosts.
Burden of proof. They got to,
Maybe they, maybe they just.
You're presumed a ghost until, until proven human.
Which kind of lends his theory maybe to Fred.
Yeah.
Being like so kind of mentally fucked up by his by his dad that he's like, no, ghosts and monsters are real. And he's like really indoctrinated all of the mystery
ink team to believe the same.
That. And so they're like, no, they're real until proven otherwise.
Because kind of it's always Velma who is the one who's like, no, no, I think it's a person.
Yeah, yeah.
She's the only one left with any kind of
agency.
Yeah.
So maybe that's Fred's true rival. He hasn't quite broken Velma yet.
I always thought as well that maybe Fred just doesn't really care about like catching. Like it's the thrill of a hunt for him. Because the amount of times I stop somewhere and someone's like, oh yeah, there's a spooky ghost in that house, let's not go. And you can just see Fred's face light up. He's like, we're going on a terror trip. Everybody else's face is like, oh, I don't want to go. Or they're like, you can't do this. And Fred always has this like, hell I can't face on. Let's go. So I think he just enjoys the fucking thrill of the chase and everybody's just brought along for the ride.
That could be right. He just doesn't give a shit. Human, ghoul, ghost, whatever.
This like is when Velma's like, I think it's a ghost. Fred's like, duh, yeah.
He's like, whatever.
I know, we're chasing a man today. Fred Jones hunts men. The most dangerous game. Oh, boy.
Fred's got some issues.
He sure does. Well, so are we saying that Fred and Daphne are independently wealthy, and also that they've committed a great crime during an extended Great Depression?
Wealthy. Are you kidding? Or definitely kind of like Stockholm Daphne.
Daphne seems like she wants to be there, but she's also always pretty worried about her hair fairly often and her appearance
Look,
and stuff.
Any of them are Stockholmed. It's Daphne.
Yeah. Shaggy doesn't have anywhere else to go.
Shaggy
he
seems
stays
more
around.
Homeless than anything. Scooby's loyal to Shaggy. Velma seems maybe like a friend of Daphne who's just like in too deep now.
Yeah, and she can't get out. And she's like, I'm going to make sure no human beings get hunted today.
It's like if you join, like you join a cult to get your mate out.
And then after a while you're like, I'm at like a sacrifice and I'm like in the middle of it. I think I'm kind of trapped right now.
Because if particularly if Fred's dad's a cultist.
Well, if we're taking the whole Mystery Inc. into account,
yes,
Fred's dad ends up being not Fred's real dad. And Fred's real dad are former mystery solvers. Because the Mystery Inc., it happens like once every 100 years or something. And they were the previous Mystery Inc. It's a mess. It's a good show, but it's a mess.
So
Fred's like double fucked up from that because now he knows he has like a lineage to kind of...
So the guy who does Fred, so there's a guy who's like, Fred, I'm your dad.
Yes.
He's like, yes, good.
And then he's like, oh, there's a treasure in Crystal Cove, which is where Mystery Inc. takes place. I'm going to dress up like a beast to try and scare people away so I can get the treasure. They unmask the beast. They're like, holy shit, it's my dad. He's like, I'm not your real dad. Your real
dad
are these
two. Takes off another mask.
I'm an actual ghoul. Your dad and mom are these two. They're former mystery solvers of the previous mystery team who, instead of Scooby-Doo, had a German parrot.
So
what?
Yeah, it's the best. There was a 1910 team that you see in portraits that's like all these cowboys and they have an orangutan. I want to see their adventure.
So the dog is the normal one?
Yeah. They have a parrot, there's an orangutan. Sometimes when they had a horse.
Oh
a fucking
that sounds
show.
Amazing. So if you look at it from Fred's perspective, he's being like, there is a monster hunting whatever is rightfully mine or whatever this. We go and hunt this monster down. We're Fred Jones, monster hunter. Turns out it's my dad. So my dad's been terrorizing me. So that's not good.
That's a stress.
And then he's like, in that same fucking moment, by the way, you're not mine. You're adopted or I kidnapped you or something. Fuck you. You're not my real child.
He's like, Holy shit.
Real parents of these pieces of shit solving mysteries. He's like, what? And so now he's got this weird thing where he's going around.
Then his mystery solving parents betray him. So like,
what?
It's a mess for old Fred Jones.
What do they do to betray him?
So in Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc., there's like an artifact and everybody's trying to build up the artifact. And it turns out that that artifact is going to do some super good biz. And the parrot, Pericles, that was their Scooby-Doo, is like, he has like all of this dirt on the former Mystery Inc. and he's blackmailing them all into getting the mechanism so that he can do some neat business and
so the parrot's
destroy the world. The parrot's
evil.
The bad guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how does the parents
Well, they're like,
him?
Oh, Fred Jones, yeah, we're on your side, lol. No,
they're
we're just in it for the
parrot.
Mechanism, yeah. Yeah. So Fred Jones pretty much has every like adult figure in his life betray him. At least once. It's kind of not a wonder that by the time of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? He's like...
pulling over cars to intimidate Shaggy.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, it's a cycle of abuse.
It really is.
That's real sad. Shaggy's parents are just neglectful.
I'm surprised the end of Scooby-Doo is not them hunting a monster which turns out to be Fred.
Yeah.
Like, to be perfectly honest, like, if that isn't how Scooby-Doo ends, then it's a shame.
It should be. It should be them being sure, like, Fred, we've had enough. And or, like, just like a Fred is like, okay, and pulls out a shotgun or a crossbow and is like, get running, monsters. And everyone's like, no. He'd, like, pull out a crossbow and he'd be like, I think we should split up, gang.
Yeah.
And then everybody runs away in terror.
Uh-huh. You can never unmask the monsters in your own head.
That's true.
Like, he's got to, like, he's... Like he drugs them all. He puts masks on them, and, he's like,
and then he has get to hunt them down. That would be a terrifying but fitting end to the Mystery Inc. team. So,
let's send some emails to Warner Brothers.
How do the Scooby-Doo gang keep themselves afloat financially? We pretty much solved that straight off the bat.
Fred's terror,
Fred's money, and terror. And, like, maybe even they don't need to be supported that financially because Fred's just keeping... Like, they're like, we want to stay in a hotel. He's like, we're staying in the van tonight, guys. And they're like, sure.
Well, you don't...
Don't hit me.
Do we see, like, any of the owners of the hotel?
Sometimes, but not always. Also, Fred... Just don't remember even... I just realized this. Crazy. There's no number plate on the mystery machine. It just isn't.
That's sus is what we call that.
Fred Jones, criminal.
Yes.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Joel.
I've been Michael.
And I guess we've just solved the mystery of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it was it was a shame.
So where else can we find you, Michael?
You can find me on It's a Duck Blur. It's a podcast I do with my wife where we watch every episode of the DuckTales show. And also I do another podcast called Pop Quiz Hotshot, which is a movie trivia game show.
Check them out.
Get on that. All links will be in the show notes of this very episode.
Awesome.
So long, gang. We can count on you.
If you think this show is worth at least a dollar, why not donate to our Patreon account? Follow.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With ACAST, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with ACAST. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
The links on our website, sanspantsradio.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.